Well, I ask for your prayers today. I want the Lord to meet with us in this few minutes this morning. And I've had a burden that I've carried for a while, the Lord's visited with me about. And I have felt a real earnestness to share this burden. I think there's some things in it I trust will be an encouragement to you. I trust it will be enlightening. I'm careful to insist that I feel like I have complete understanding of everything that I feel the Lord gives me to present. But I do back up some of the things that I feel that the Lord gives me, and I try to weigh them against some personal experiences and what I observe with humanity and what I hear and observe with my fellow workers in the gospel and with those with whom I worship, with you. The things that I hear you say and the things that I see from you, and I want these things to be a real help to us, and I trust that it will. What I have on my heart today, immature disciples, or immature discipleship. And I don't mean this in any type of derogatory term. Please understand that. I want us to take it from a standpoint that I believe the Lord would like for us to take it. The word immature means hasty, too early, not perfect, not ripe. All right. So from that standpoint, too early, not perfect. And this word perfect is a word that we can really easy for us to get hung up on. That means mature, whole, complete. Okay. So something that is immature is not whole. It's not complete, not ripe. How many times have you picked something that was not ripe? If you try to pick fruit or eat fruit that's not ripe, the flavor's not there. If you wait until it is ripe, there is a point at which it reaches its peak of its sweetness, the sugars, the natural sugars that are in it have reached their peak, and the taste is at its peak and what it really should be. And the Lord wants to bring us to a place of maturity. Disciples or discipleship. A disciple is a follower or an adherent to the doctrines of another. We want to be disciples of the Lord. The Lord, while He was here on this earth, had disciples. He had those that followed Him. And my understanding of reading in the Scriptures is that they were immature in many ways. There were many things that they absolutely did not understand. There were two that came to the Lord and said, well, the mother came and said, this is my request. I'd like for my two sons to one sit on one side and one on the other when you come to your kingdom. The understanding was that Christ was going to set up a literal kingdom and they were to be in places of authority and responsibility. That was immature discipleship. They didn't understand. It wasn't ripe. It wasn't whole. I remember one time praying for someone, trying to get guidance and direction from the Lord, someone who was in a place of affliction, asking the Lord, Lord, is it your intention to heal this individual? And if so, will you help me to know what your reason is, what your purpose is in this affliction? If there is to be healing, Lord, I'd like to know if there's how to approach the counsels and the comments and the advices to give to the individual as I visit with them. And the Lord spoke to me and let me know, I am preparing fruit ready to harvest. Well, no one wants to go to tell someone that the Lord let me know that He's getting you ripe to be harvested. But that's what the Lord gave me. And what I experienced in the watching the affliction as it progressed, I watched the Lord take that individual to a place where He wanted them to be, was able to work with them, speak to them by His Holy Spirit, woo them and do whatever He could with them until they reached that maximum potential, that peak sweetness where the Lord said, now it's time. And when the Lord saw that it was time, He harvested the fruit. And I sat back at that and I thought, how wonderful God is. I'm getting fruit ready to harvest. I'm getting it to a point where it is ripe to be plucked. I'm getting it to a point where it is ready to be used for me. Now, it wasn't that it was going to be used here on this earth, but it finally reached that place where in the Lord's eyes, it's time. It's time. And He called the individual home. Now, I used to try to serve the Lord because I had a fear of going to hell. Probably some of you in here have had that same experience where you hear about hellfire, you hear about eternal punishment, you hear about flames, you hear about, well, the worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched, you hear about all of the miseries, ever dying, never dead, all of those things, and those are so. They're true. And we ought to do everything that we can to escape eternal punishment. We ought to do everything that we can to understand that there is a place, there is a remedy, that God has made a place of escape for us, that we don't have to live in eternal punishment. We're going to live somewhere eternally. Two places. Heaven, hell. And we don't like to dwell on hell, but we have to accept the reality of it. We have to realize that it is there. And I remember, in my own mind, my desire to try to do right things was from the motivation of escaping hell. Now, that's not altogether a bad motivation, but that was basically my sole motivation, just to escape hell. All right? The Lord wanted to bring me to a place, and He wants to bring you to a place, where we serve Him because we love Him. He wants to bring us to a place where we serve Him because we realize that He loved me. And He wants to do everything that He can to help me and help you. And when we realize those places that the Lord is calling for us and what He is doing with us and for us through life, it causes our focus to begin to change from just serving Him out of a fear, not wanting to go to hell, which, if you'll allow me and give me this little bit of liberty here, in my own assessment, and I want to insist on this, but my own assessment of that is that that was an immature discipleship. It wasn't complete. It wasn't whole. It wasn't ripe. I was following the doctrines and teachings of another, not because I knew what they meant, not because I understood it all, but because I realized that it was a means of me escaping eternal damnation. All right? So I thank the Lord for having that much understanding. I thank the Lord for Him revealing that to me. I thank the Lord for knocking on my heart's door. I thank the Lord for every time I heard a message about that eternal punishment and the desire to escape that. That's a good desire, and I want you to feel that you don't want to go there, and I want you to feel that you need to do everything you can to escape. Run for your life, as we heard in this meeting. Make a U-turn. Do everything that you can to avoid eternal punishment. John chapter 6. Read a passage here. We'll pick up with verse 25. But this is after Jesus had performed a miracle where He fed 5,000. The disciples were looking at that situation, and he wanted to know about how they could feed them. They said, we don't have any means to feed these people. Well, there's a little boy here that's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But what is this among so many? The Lord said, well, make them sit down in groups and we'll take care of this. So you know what happened. The Lord blessed the food and He distributed and they had plenty to eat. They had more than enough to eat. And that was a blessing from the Lord. And when the evening came, the disciples went down to the edge of the sea and got in their boat and they left. Jesus was still there. But as a storm came up that night, Jesus came walking to His disciples and on the water, scared them. And He reassured them that everything was okay. It's Me. Don't be afraid. And He met them there. And the next morning, when everybody woke up that had had the plenty to eat, Jesus was gone. The disciples were gone. They knew the disciples took a boat, but Jesus didn't. Where did He go? They couldn't find Him anywhere. So we pick up in verse 25. When they found Him on the other side of the sea, they said unto Him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek Me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto Him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He has sent. They said therefore unto Him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread to eat. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on Me shall never thirst. Their minds here were not set on the things that Christ actually came to present to them. Their minds were set on being filled with the bread that He had to give them, the literal bread. They woke up the next morning, I believe, if I can have this liberty, they woke up the next morning, we're ready for breakfast. Where's the man that made the food? Well, he's moved on. Where did he go? Our tummies are growling. We're hungry and he's not here. Well, he's on the other side of the sea. Lord, why'd you get here? How'd you get here? When did you get here? Well, I came over during the night last night. And he understood the reasons why they were seeking Him. He knew what they were looking for. I would like to give us a little piece of instruction here. Do not serve the Lord only for the blessings that you can receive from Him. Do not serve the Lord only for the loaves and the fishes. Do not serve the Lord for immature reasons. Do not serve the Lord only because of the things that I can get from Him. One of the things that I can get from the Lord is escaping eternal damnation. That is one of the things, and I ought to want to escape that. But if that is my sole reason for trying to serve the Lord, I am going to miss out on the absolute full essence of what it is to be a Christian, to be a child of God. The only reason I serve Him is to escape eternal punishment, then I'm going to miss all of the other blessings that the Lord has designed for us. So, Lord, when did you come here? Well, if we can have that kind of bread, just the bread that you're talking about, that you know our fathers had manna, and you say that the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world, still their minds, I believe, were thinking in one vein. One vein, and that is, now everybody here in the United States of America, I would say that most everyone has plenty to eat. I know there are some who go hungry. Some of that's of their own choice. Some of that is because there are very poor circumstances and conditions. But generally speaking, we have plenty. We have abundance. And the way that we get that is labor. There's labor. Since the curse of sin on humanity, there have always been selfish motivations in the hearts and minds of humanity. If I can get something for nothing, I'm all for it. What these people, I believe, were thinking is, if I can stay close enough to this man, I'll never have to worry about getting anything else to eat again. He took those five little loaves and those two fishes and he said a few words. I don't even know what it was he said because I was too far away to hear it, but I know this. Those five loaves and two fishes, they just kept getting more and getting more and getting more out of those baskets, and I had plenty to eat. He just told me to sit down and in groups of, I forget what it was, groups here, and we're going to take care of you. That's the thing that they had in mind. That's what they were looking for from the one who had something so much deeper to give to them. All right, so we find ourselves in that place as humanity. I can't say I'm any different. I really can't, except the grace of God. I can say this to you. There have been times in my life, and I hope it's not this way with you, but there have been times in my life where in my experience with the Lord, some difficult things come. Hard places that come along the way. Some things that I don't understand. Some things that I would love to, if possible, to wriggle out of. If there was a way to escape it, I would try to escape it any way that I could. And I honestly have to tell you that I have been in the place in my humanity, even though I want to do right, I want to serve the Lord, but sometimes feeling the pressures of life, the pressures of the situation, the pressures of the moment, the hurt, the pain, all the things and components that enter into it, I have felt my hand slipping from the Lord's hand. Yes. I'm going to tell you that. I have felt my hand slipping out of the Lord's hand. Not because He was turning loose of me, but because I, through my own thoughts and reasonings and trying to weigh things out, was not getting it all right, and I was allowing myself to slip away from the Lord's hand and maybe pursuing or looking for other courses that in my mind would satisfy the need that I had. I hope you'll still have confidence in me and believe that I love the Lord after this. I prayed some foolish prayers. I prayed prayers that had absolutely no substance in them whatsoever except from my own selfish motivations. I prayed prayers asking for things that I had no business asking for. Not because they were bad things, but because I didn't understand what the mind of the Lord was. Because I didn't understand what it meant when Jesus said, "Father, not my will, but Thy be done." Because what I would pray concerning was my own things that I was looking for, the things that I wanted out of life, the directions that I wanted, the things that I, the way I wanted things to turn out. But I had to come to, that was immature discipleship. I had to come to a place to where I understood that the Lord was wanting me to serve Him even if these other things aren't there. Even if my tummy is rumbling. Even if I'm hungry. Even if my bones stick out. That I still love Him and serve Him because He loved me. The Scripture tells me, and I love this verse, we love Him because He first loved us. And as I've meditated on that little scripture, it lets me know that I wouldn't even know what love is if He hadn't loved me first. So in 2 Peter, chapter 3, the last verse here says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Grow in grace. This is an observation that I have had. I've seen too many come to a place of a crossroads in life. I've seen them walk right up to that threshold where the Lord was trying to get them to that place where they were facing and reaching real maturity, where they were understanding what the Lord was calling for, a deep love, a deep consecration, a deep worship, a deep desire from the heart, not only to serve Him because of the loaves and the fishes, and not only to serve them because of the laws and the ordinances, and not only to serve Him because of a fear of hell, but to come to a place, bringing them to a place where to really love me and serve me means laying everything on the altar before the Lord. Reaching a place of maturity. Many times I've seen folks walk up to that place, approach that place, and instead of making the decision to serve the Lord, He said plainly, "The birds of the air have nests, the foxes have holes, but I don't have a place to lay my head." That doesn't mean that He wants you and me to be destitute in life. As we heard in this meeting, He knows we have need of food and raiment and shelter. He knows we have need of those things. But the Scripture says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these other things will be added to you." Well, our Father knows that we have need of those things. So this is my observation. And I've seen this with young people. I want to say this before I finish this comment. I love you, everyone. It does my heart. You've heard me say this, and I mean it from my heart. It does me so much good to see the group of you together. It does me so much good to see you here together playing volleyball, playing softball, whatever, after service at night. It does my heart good to see you and having the opportunity to be together. I think it's valuable time. Very valuable time. And I want you to enjoy being together. I want you to enjoy serving the Lord in the way that you understand. I want you to enjoy the portion that you have in participation in the services, singing the special songs. I want you to do all those things. I want you to participate. But this is what I do know. This is what I do know. There are things that you do not understand. There are things that you do not understand. I believe that the teachings that I have had presented to me in my life have been absolutely valuable teachings. Things that I have heard about modesty. Things that I have heard and been instructed about, be careful where I go with my feet and what I see with my eyes, what I put my hands to do. Being careful about career paths, what to choose and what not to choose. Being careful about companions. Being careful about what I see, what I read, what I hear, what I listen to. What I put on my body, what I put off my body. All of those things are absolutely valuable instructions. And they ought to have scriptural foundation with them. And I thank God for every one of those things that I have heard. But I want to share this with you. There was a time in my life where I tried to adhere to those things because they were what was taught. They were what I heard. It was instruction given to me. Valuable instruction. I do not want you to assume in any way that I am trying to discount the valuable instruction. Valuable, necessary, needful instruction. But what I have observed is there comes a place with everyone where the Lord wants to lead you from a place of not being ripe, willing to follow. You're still on the vine. He wants to lead you to a place where you become mature with Him. He wants to lead you to a place where you start to understand. The light bulb comes on. Things click and you start to realize, this is why they taught me this. This is why this Scripture was expounded this way. This is why I have been told not to go to the places of the world, the entertainments and amusements. This is why they've told me that I ought to refrain myself from having the devil's devices in my homes, televisions and entertainments of that nature. This is why that I have been instructed that way, because I find a place that it means something more than just do and don't. It becomes a place that I realize it's because the Lord says, would you please just do it for me? Would you be willing to lay those things aside and develop a relationship with me where I can have a real, you can be a follower of me. There's no way that you set all of these doctrines and principles up in your own mind. I put these things together. You're my disciple. You're one that follows the doctrines of another. And Jesus saying, I'm the one who set these things up. My Father, through His Holy Spirit, has revealed these things to you. And now I'm asking, would you be willing to lay those things aside and follow me? And this is what I have seen. During that time where the Lord is leading you, leading us to that place, there's a space, if you'll allow me to describe it this way. There's a space between the immature and the mature. There's a space between when it's ripe and ready and it's not ripe. There's a space there where I have the opportunity, again, to exercise my choice. And I find that what happens at that stage, that's a very delicate, vulnerable time and place where individuals are making their choices and decisions of how they're going to pursue their course in life. At that point, they either cast or they remain on the vine and allow the Lord to bring them to maturity. Jesus said, I am the vine. You're the branches. The only way that you and I are going to be able to have maturity in our relationship with the Lord is to abide in the vine. As long as we stay there attached to the vine, then we're going to find, and we sing the song, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. If you have that testimony in your heart today, amen. I'm going to say to you, young people, and I mean no disrespect and no slight to you whatsoever, I've been where you are. I remember the things trying to understand, wrestling with, and struggling with how to apply these things in my life and not be in bondage. Amen. Not be in bondage. I didn't want to be in bondage to anything. The Lord doesn't want us to be in bondage to anything. He created us to be free. But He wanted me to be able to find a place where I could serve Him and love Him, because I found that the benefit was more than just the loaves and the fishes. I found that it was a place where when I pillowed my head, I could lay my head down with peace. And not only that, the Lord wanted to, at some point in life, cause me to come to a place in growing in grace with Him. Grow in grace. The Apostle Paul said, I have learned. That's his experience. He said, I have learned. He said, I've been hungry and I've been full. I've had everything. I've had nothing. I've been safe and secure. And I have been in peril and in danger. I've had a place of authority and prominence, and I've been in a place where I was in prison, where the authorities cast me there. He said, but I've learned this. Whatsoever state I am in, to be content. How do you think he got there? It wasn't because the loaves and the fishes were always there. It wasn't because the plate was always full. It wasn't because there were no difficulties in life. It wasn't because there were no reverses. It's because he found that even in those places, the Lord had led him to a place of maturity where he could serve the Lord regardless of the circumstances he was in. My heart goes out to you. This world that we live in today is offering you so many alternatives. So many things that are untoward. So many things that give you options to choose one way or another. There are so many things available to you. I know the Scripture says, say not why it was that the former days are better than these, for thou dost not inquire wisely concerning the matter. I can't say to you that this is worse than it's ever been, because I can read about Sodom and Gomorrah. I can read about Noah's day. It said the imagination of their heart was only evil continually. I'm thankful for, as the Apostle Paul said, some preach Christ of contention, some preach Him trying to add affliction to my bonds, trying to just rub sand in my wounds. He said, but what do I say? Well, I just rejoice that Christ is preached. Because maybe somewhere somebody will hear that story, hear that message, and it'll make a difference in their life. First Corinthians. Chapter 13:9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. You see, there was a place where my understanding was very limited, feeble, imperfect. My views of things were very narrow and incomplete, imperfect. The things that affected me as a babe in Christ now affect me much differently. I had no real mature experience with things of the Lord. And this is what I have experienced today. The more I know, the more I find out I don't know. The more I learn, the more I find that I have to learn. When I come to the Lord and ask Him things, and He condescends to pay me a visit, maybe answer my immature questions. When He's willing to come down and pay me a visit, and I feel like I wish I could crawl underneath the carpet, it lets me know that there are things that are so high and lofty that my mind, feeble, frail mind, will never be able to attain to. And it's not because I don't think that God has given me just a weak mind, but it's because He lets me know that His thoughts are so much higher than my thoughts and His ways so much higher than my ways. I can get twisted and tangled up in things in this world. I can get twisted and tangled up in scriptural applications that are really of no value whatsoever, I'll share one with you. Not long ago, I had a phone call from someone asking me a question about what I thought of the pre-Adamic world. Now, I have to tell you, first it caught me off guard, and I said, would you repeat that? Yes, I want to know what your thoughts are about the pre-Adamic world. I said, you're asking about the world before Adam. Yes. I said, I don't know. He said, well, the Bible says when he created Adam, he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So that tells me that there was a world, humanity, before Adam. I said, may I insert something here to you, sir? I have no idea. I do not believe that the Lord was saying in His Scripture that there was another world. I believe God created one world in 6 days. I believe His instructions there were to just fill the earth. We can twist, get bogged down in those things. It is easy for us to get bogged down and twisted up in things that have no spiritual value whatsoever. May I encourage you to only stay with those things in the Scriptures that are of spiritual value to your soul. People have twisted themselves and tied themselves in knots trying to understand and interpret the book of Revelations. I heard a man trying to tell me one day about, I don't even remember where he got it from. I don't know how he came to this conclusion, but he let me know that there was a scripture in Revelations that was talking about something that John saw. And he said, you know what that was, don't you? It was a helicopter. A helicopter. I said, can I explain that? He started trying to explain. It had to do with the man's hair as white as wool, and that was a picture of a helicopter and blades twirling overhead. Folks, young people, let me tell you something. You are going to be exposed to all manner of twisting of the Scriptures. You're going to be exposed to all manner of people wresting the Scriptures, twisting them. You're going to be exposed to all manner of that. My counsel to you today is stay with the fundamentals. Stay with the basics. If you don't understand it, don't twist yourself like a pretzel trying to understand it. If you don't understand it, ask the Lord to give you understanding. If He wants you to have understanding by the office of His Holy Spirit, He can teach you and give you understanding. I'll say this to you. There may be things that God wants to reveal to you for your personal walk with Him that somebody else may never understand. It is unique to you. It applies to you. It helps you to see what it is that God wants you to do. And it will always lead you into a place where you feel humbled and small and low before the magnanimous God, the magnificent God, the one who is able to instruct you and teach you. You'll feel low. You will feel that this God who knows me and loves me and is bringing me to maturity is leading me by His Holy Spirit to these things. Book of Colossians chapter 1. Verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. The Lord wants to bring you to a place of increase. I said a few minutes ago, the more I know, the more I find out I don't know. The more I learn, the more I find out there is to learn. I've gone to the Lord about things. I have a curious mind. There are things that I would love to be able to understand about the way God works. There are things that I'd love to be able to have put in my mind and set up as 1, 2, 3 and ABC and be able to have my own self convinced of these things. And I've had myself, I've gone to the Lord and asked Him different times about certain things, and you know what His response to me has been? Secret things belong to me. And I have had to learn that that's good enough. The best thing for me to do whenever I'm in that kind of a place and the Lord says the secret things belong to me, the best thing for me to do is back away from it. Leave it alone. Stay with the things that will bring me spiritual value. Young people, I don't know where you are individually, but I know in the time of life where you are. I know that you have been hearing instruction for many years now. And your intelligent minds are able to understand the ABCs and the 1, 2, 3s. Your minds are fully capable of understanding the do's and the don'ts. You can understand the thou shalt and the thou shalt nots. You can understand those things. And you can choose to respond to the thou shalt and thou shalt nots. The Lord wants to bring you to that place where you do it because you realize He wants you to be brought into that fold with Him that's much more than just my tummy is growling and I want something to eat. He wants you to say, He said to those looking around, He said, You're not following me because of the miracle that I did. You're following me because you ate and you were full. Don't labor for the meat that perishes. Labor for the meat that brings everlasting life. I want you to be successful in your walk with the Lord. If there's one thing I've learned, where Jesus said these words, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged." And then He said these words, "And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again." Do I get anxious sometimes when I see people making bad decisions, going the wrong way? Yes, I do. Do I wish I could step in and stop it? Yes, I do. And when I'm tempted to try to put my hand to the ark, the Lord reminds me, "Son, remember where you were. Remember where you've been. Remember how I've worked with you. Remember how I had patience with you." And I have said, "Lord, help me. Help me to be patient with my fellow man, long-suffering with my fellow man. Help me, Lord, when I think there's things that need to be checked and corrected. If it has to be done, help me to do it in the right spirit, the right framework. But Lord, help me always to remember the measure that I use will be measured to me again." So what I'm saying to you this morning is, as we heard in this meeting, rejoice, O young man, in the days of thy youth. Be happy, enjoy it, but do remember that there is a Creator. It is our prayer, our earnest desire, that the Lord will lead everyone into that place of relationship with Him that is much more than just the temporal things, much more than just the loaves and the fishes, much more than just the things that I can receive, but He'll lead me into a place rather than being immature disciples, that I can be a mature disciple. You pray for me. Thank you for your time and attention today. Amen.